Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Samech Vav. We will begin in Daf Samech Vav on Aleph. The first words on the Amud B'Maikam Miflgi. In the previous shiur, we learned the halachas of grasshoppers, and which grasshoppers are kosher, and how do we determine which ones are kosher and which ones are not. And in the previous shiur, we spent a while analyzing a pasuk in the Torah, two pasukim in the Torah. But first, the Torah identifies as Elo Teichlu, which grasshoppers may we eat. The Torah says, Ashloi Krayim, it has legs. And then the Torah continues identifying four specific grasshoppers. After the mention of each one of these grasshoppers, the Torah uses either the word Laminai or Laminehu. And in the previous Gemara, we had a Machloikis, how to understand those Pesukim. The first opinion that we saw said that they should be understood as a klal uprat, and as we know, the halacha is klal uprat ein b'chlal al mash b'frat, and therefore each one of the four grasshoppers mentioned with the liminoi mentioned afterwards comes to say one more grasshopper that's exactly similar to the grasshopper mentioned by the Torah is a kosher grasshopper. But then the second opinion that we discussed in the previous year was the opinion of the Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, who said that it should be considered klal uprat to klal, and ein beklal el ka'ena prat. It has to just be similar to the prat. And as we explained in the previous year, at the end of the year, the practical nafgamina between Rabbi Shmuel and the first version is two nafgaminas, a chumra and a kula. According to the first version, even if something is not called a chagav, is not in the family of chagav, it could still be a kosher grasshopper. Tana Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. It has to be in the family of a chagav. And the other nafkamina we learned in the shiur was, if the grasshopper has a rosh ha'oruch, has a long head, could it still be a kosher grasshopper? Tana de Rav, the first opinion held that it cannot. The second opinion held that it can still be a kosher grasshopper, doesn't make a difference the shape of its head. So now the Gemara summarizes essentially what we just said. What is the machloikus of the Tana de Rav? Machloikus is showing why that opinion is called the Tana de Rav. Rashi says it's called Tana de Rav because in the yeshiva, in the Beis HaMedrash, this was the Brais that was commonly learned, and that's why I got the title of Tana de Rav. Other Rishonim disagree, and they say the reason it's called Tana de Rav is because Rav actually is the one that authored those brises. The reason Rashi doesn't agree with that pshat, even though it seems to be a fairly obvious pshat, is because there are places in Shas where the Gemara quotes the Tana de Rav, and Rav argues what was said in the Tana de Rav. If Rav was the one that authored it, how would he be disagreeing? So again, says the Gemara, "B'mai kamiflgi tana debei Rav tana debei Rav Shmuel." Says the Gemara, "B'roisha aruch kamiflgi." Is there a what would be the halacha if the grasshopper has a long head? Tana debei Rav sover, as we explained, ashloi krayim. The first pasuk that says ashloi krayim is a klal. Then the pasuk says arba solam chargal chagav lumineyu prat. And as we said, that whenever we have a situation of klal uprat, ein b'chlal al mash b'frat, that the prat completely defines the klal, and therefore the mine in, only grasshoppers that are exactly similar to those grasshoppers mentioned are kosher, the lav de mine loy. And therefore, according to Rav, marbe de domele mishnei tzadim, the only grasshoppers that will be kosher have to have two commonalities with the grasshoppers mentioned. What are they? Explained the Rishonim. Number one, the four simonim that the Mishnah on Daf Nun Tes mentions, the legs and the jumping legs and the wings. And also, that it may not have a long head. Tana de Rav Shmuel sover. However, Tana de Rav Shmuel learns the pasuk differently. He says the pasuk should be understood. Ashloi Kra'ayim is a klal. Arba Solom Chargal Chagav are prat. Lemineyu is a chaz of a klal, and we know that whenever we have a klal or prat to klal, iyat don el in a prat, it just has to be similar to the prat. Umaba called the domile, and therefore, as long as it's somewhat similar, b'chatzad, what is the chatzad? That it has the four simonim that the Mishnah identified. Any grasshopper that has those four simonim will be kosher. So what is our Gemara saying? What our Gemara is saying is that the nafkamina is, does it have a long head or not? According to Rav, if it has a long head, Rosh Aruch, it would not be kosher. According to Tana Brei Shmuel, it would be kosher. Actually, the Rishonim ask an obvious question. Going back to our introductory remarks to today's shir, there's another nafkamina. The Tana Brei Shmuel holds that it has to be in the family of Chagav. Tana Brei Rav doesn't need it to be in the family of Chagav. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that nafkamina, asked the Rishonim? So some Rishonim say that even though technically they are disagreeing over this concept, it isn't a practical nafkamina. Because all of the Chagavim, all of the grasshoppers that the Tana Brei Rav identifies as kosher grasshoppers, the four that the Torah mentioned, and the other four that we learned from the words Leminoi, are all in the family of Chagav anyway. So maybe conceptually they're arguing, but practically they're not arguing, and that's why the Gemara doesn't mention that nafkamina. That's one approach I saw in the Rishonim. Another approach I saw in the Rishonim, which is actually connected to a discussion that we had in the previous year, is that our Mishnah, the Tana Kama, doesn't say that it has to be in the family of Chagav. Rabbi Yossi says it has to be in the family of Chagav. And there is Rishonim that hold that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav, and of the Tana Debei Rav, and the Machloikis of the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is actually what is the Tana Debei Rav's opinion regarding this rule. Does the Tana Debei Rav require that it be in the family of the Chagav, which will be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, or doesn't the opinion of the Tana Kama? So since it's not clear what is the opinion of the Tana Debei Rav regarding this issue, the Gemara ignores it. Ask the Gemara, V'aloi Dami. So we just explained that how does the Tana Debei Rav Shmuel learn this pasuk? He learns this pasuk as a klal or prat to klal. Ask the Gemara, how could he learn this pasuk as a klal or prat to klal? V'aloi Dami klal l'klam l'klal basra. The first klal mentioned in the pasuk and the second klal mentioned in the pasuk aren't similar. And explains the Gemara. Klala kama, the first klal that's used in the pasuk uses the words asha klai kraim amrachmana, which means the isleichol, as long as it has this, it's fine. The less leiloitechol. But the second klal, what is according to Rabbi Shmuel, the second klal? Just the word limineyu. So doesn't that mean klala basra ad shabba ba'arba simonim that it have to be exactly similar? So Gemara's question is that the Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, who's learning this pasuk, as we said, as a klal upratu klal, said, how could you explain and how could you interpret that this pasuk should be understood as a klal uprat uklal situation where the first klal in the pasuk and the last klal in the pasuk are dissimilar? The first klal is a lot broader than the second klal. That can't be considered a legitimate klal upratu klal. Answers the Gemara. Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, but klali upratikai gavna don. Debei Rav Shmuel is not disturbed with that. Even though the two klalim aren't similar, he says it could still be considered klal krat klal. And says the Gemara, udarmiya nami ba'alma, the don, Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, but klali uprati. This way the Rishonim explain this Gemara. The Rishonim say that many times we come across Gemaras that explain psukim to be understood as a klal prat to klal. And the Gemara immediately asks, how could you explain this pasuk to be a situation of a klal prat to klal? The first klal and the second klal aren't similar. And the Gemara always answers, or many times answers to that question, it's following the opinion of Tana Debei Rav Shmuel, who isn't bothered with that question. When the Gemara mentions this answer many times throughout Shas, This is the opinion of Reb Shmuel that isn't bothered when the two klalim aren't similar. Where do they take that from? Where does the Gemara have a right to say that that is the opinion of Reb Shmuel? From this case. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the previous shiur, as we were attempting to understand the opinion of Reb Shmuel, Amar, since one of the psukim that the Torah speaks about, one of the grasshoppers that the Torah identifies as a kosher grasshopper, is the Chagav. Ish my Chagav, yochol ein by kol ha-simonim halalu. So maybe we think that all that's required is that it should have the name Chagav, it should be in the family of Chagav, and that in itself is enough to make it a kosher grasshopper. Tamloimer, that's why, said the Gemara in answering this question, the Torah uses the words Lemineu, at Shiebei Kala Simonim Halalu. Ask the Gemara, Ein by Kala Simonim Halalu, how would we have a Havamina Mehechitesi? Why would we think, how would we even have a Havamina, ask the Gemara, that it just, if it has the name Chagav, it's enough to be considered a kosher grasshopper? Answers the Gemara. Abba v'chagoksiv. If the Torah, and I'm not going to review this because we spoke about this extensively previous year, if the Torah indeed had only mentioned the Abba v'chagol, iloksiv solom, and not mentioned the solom, to the karmet, we would never have a havamina that without all four simonim, a grasshopper could be kosher. But, says the Gemara, hashtam, as we explained in the previous year, Diksiv Solom L'Ribui L'Rosh Aruch. As we explained that the entire mention of the Solom type of grasshopper is superfluous. Because by the Torah mentioning the Arba and the Chargal, we could extrapolate that the Solom is kosher. Because let's review. Because the only difference between the Arba and the Solom is one is bald and one isn't. So we already know that baldness is not a factor from the Torah mentioning the Chargal. The Solom that the Torah mentioned remains extra. So we explained in the previous shiur that what are we going to use, at the end of the shiur actually, that what is the Torah, according to the Tana Bei Rishmol, use the word Solom to teach us? It comes to teach us that it doesn't make a difference the shape of the head, long or not. Maybe, says the Gemara, that's not what the word Solom comes to teach us. Maybe it's coming to teach us so much more. Eima lirba nami kolduhu. Maybe the Torah is calling any grasshopper, as long as it's in the family of Chagav, it's enough. And therefore the word Solom is not just to be limited, to teach us that it doesn't make a difference what shape the head has. But rather it's coming to teach us that as long as it's in the family of Chagav, it's enough to be a kosher grasshopper. Kamash Malon, that's why the Pasuk, that's why the Brice had to say the word Limineu, which the Torah uses afterward, Chagav, comes to teach us that that isn't enough to make it kosher. Ask the Gemara. Maishna Hossam, the Gemara in the previous year, when it defined the different grasshoppers, not that we really appreciate what this means, but Maishna Hossam, the Amrit Solom Zeroshon, the first version had that Solom is the Roshim type of grasshopper, and Chargal is the Nipal type of grasshopper. And then the second Brisa said, Mashna Hocho, the second Brisa said, Solom's a Nipal, that the Solom is the Nipal form of grasshopper, and Chargal is the Roshim type of grasshopper. So, just the opposite, the two Brisa. So what is it? What is the Solom and what is the Chargal? Answers the Gemara, Markasri, Markasri. In every country, they use different vocabulary. In this country, the Solom was called Russian, and the Chargal was Nepal, and in the other place, it was just the opposite. Before we finish the sugya of grasshoppers, as we already said in the previous year, it's not very relevant, la'loch l'maisa, we don't eat grasshoppers, but Rashi makes a very important point. Rashi says that grasshoppers may be eaten even without shchita. We know an animal and bird has to be shechted. A grasshopper can eat without shechita. Why? Because Rashi explains, as we finish this sugya, the pasuk says, "Zois Tyrus behema, va'oif, va'dogim, and the chagovim called sharet ha'aretz. So Rashi explains as follows. This is what the Mefarshim explain Rashi. We know a behema, as we explained extensively, to be eaten has to be slaughtered both simonim. Dogim, and we learned this Gemara together on Daf Chav Zayin, don't have to be slaughtered to be eaten. Why? Because the Torah uses the word asifa by dogim. Shechit is not required. Oifis, we learned, is right in the pasuk between behema and dogim. So there's sort of a compromise. The behemah requires two simonim. The dogim require no simonim. The oif that's in between, one simon has to be cut. The chagovim that come after the dogim don't require any shechita, just like dogim don't either. However, there is a question, a machloikus rishonim, again, not lemaisa, may chagovim be eaten when they're still alive? Some rishonim say that they may not be eaten alive, not because of the isser on the kashrus of the chagovim, but rather they may not be eaten alive because the baal teshaksu, it's something that's disgusting. Other rishonim say, if it doesn't bother you, you could eat them alive. According to the opinions that they have to be eaten dead, there's an interesting opinion of Rabbeinu Sadya Gaon that says they can only be eaten if they were killed by the person. There is no prescribed manner how they have to be killed, but they have to be killed by a person. That means, according to Rabbeinu Sadya Gaon, if a grasshopper were to be found dead, it wasn't killed by someone, that was found dead, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. The very bechiddush. Interesting shaila that I saw the Pesukim discuss. We all remember a very famous Gemara because it's based on a Pesuk that we say every day, three times a day, that a person is not allowed to eat before he feeds his animals. So the question is, let's say someone has a grasshopper. Is he allowed to eat before he feeds his grasshopper? So it's not a very relevant question because how many people have plucked grasshoppers? But it is relevant, as I'll explain the question. Let's say somebody has an aquarium. He has a fish tank. He has to feed his animal first. Does he have to feed his fish first? Why? What's the basis of the question? The question is based, is why is indeed the halacha that you have to feed your animal before you eat yourself? Because in the category of tzar bal chayim. So by animals and birds, as we just explained, where there's an obligation to do shechita. So some Paiskim suggest that what does the shechita mean? What the shechita means is, and we believe in this, that shechita is the most humane way of killing an animal, killing a bird. So the Torah went out of its way to give us a prescribed manner how to kill the animals and birds, because the Torah is concerned about tzar bal chayim. But by fish and grasshoppers, as we just finished explaining, there is no specific manner how they have to be killed. So there's no issue of tzar bal chayim. And maybe you could eat before them. Or, we don't understand it that way. And certainly there's a chiv tzar bal chayim, there's issue tzar bal chayim, even on animals that don't have to be slaughtered. The issue of fish is much less of a shayla, say the Paiskim, because if you have fish, they're swimming in a fish tank. So the main thing that they need to eat is water, and they get the water. The food that you feed them is not as important as the water. But where it comes up more is, let's say somebody has a pet dog, or he has a pet cat. So they're not kosher animals. You're not shechting your dog or your cat, but they're human live things. And the Paiskim say that, of course, there's an issue of tzar bal chayim, and even though they're non-kosher species, you should be careful to feed them before you eat yourself. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, ubedogim kosher yesh leisnap v'kaskeses, a little more relevant, l'aloch l'maisa. By fish, what makes a fish kosher if it has fins and scales? Tanar bonan. En lo achshav, vosel godel achazman. They don't have right now, but they eventually will have these fins and scales. Kegoin asultanus v'afyon, certain small fish, Rashi says, hareza mutter. They're still considered kosher fish. What about the other way? Yesh lo achshav, vosel lashir b'shar sh'olim min hayat mayim. They start off with them, and then they fall off. This is typically by the scales. But Zaki Tshuva says it could be the same halacha applies by the fins as well. And what type of fish are these? kigon akunas vafunas kastayim vastafayim vatunas hareza mutter. The fish is still a kosher fish, as long as they had it at one point. So the Mefarshim debate how to understand this Gemara, and it's very much connected to a Gemara that we learned in the previous year. In the previous year, we had the exact same rule that the Gemara said by Chagovim, that as long as they have, as long as they had or will have, it's good enough. They were speaking about the wings or the legs. So some Mefarshim suggest that this rule that the Gemara just said is based on Svara. The Svara is that this is good enough. That's how some Mefarshim explain. Other Mefarshim say, no, that you can't just say such a rule based on Svara, but it's actually based on a halacha, based on the Pasuk. Because the Pasuk says, regarding the kosher fish, the Pasuk says, snap of a kaskasas. And the way to understand that pasuk is not enloi, but it means ayin, ayin with an ayin. Look at it, and look if they had at any point, or will have at any point, the snap of a kaskasas, and that's enough to bet it should be declared a kosher fish. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, kosher esh loy kaskasas. The Mishnah makes a very strong statement. Any fish that has scales, yesh loy snapper, must have fins. However, says the Mishnah, however, there are fish that have fins, vein loy kaskasas, but don't have scales. Yesh loy kaskasas, v'yesh loy snapper, if it has scales and fins, tzdak tohor, yesh loy snapper, vein loy kaskasas, but if it only has fins and no scales, tummy. It's a non-kosher fish. Ask the Gemara. Michti. So after understanding what this Mishnah says, so all you need to have is scales. Because once a fish has scales, we know it has fins. Mechti, akaskesis kosam chinen. We're relying on the scales. So ask the Gemara, lichta rechmana kaskesis. It should be enough that the Torah should just mention the kaskesis. The lichta of snapping shouldn't have to mention the snapper at all. Because we just, the Gemara just told us a fact. That as soon as there's kaskesis, we know there's a snapper. So why does the Torah have to mention the snapper? Answers the Gemara. Ikos rachmana kaskasas vloiksniv snapir. If the Torah had only mentioned the kaskasas and the snapir, not the snapir, says the Gemara, have a meaning we may make an error, and we may say my kaskasas. We won't define kaskasas as the scale. We'll define kaskasas as the snapir, and there we'll make a mistake because we'll think that the Torah, when it says all you need to have is kaskasas, what is the Torah teaching us? All you need is fins. And we'll end up having a fish which is really not kosher because it only has fins and considering it kosher. But feel that tummy, we may end up making that mistake. That's why, says the Gemara, kosa rachmana snapper v'kaskasas. The Torah says snapper v'kaskasas. So we know that they're two separate things. And Tosfos asks, how do we know that you have to have both snapper v'kaskasas? Maybe what the Torah is saying is you have to have either or. Answers Tosfos. We compared the simonim of fish to the simonim of animals. And just like we know that the Torah, when it identifies a kosher animal, it says it has to be mafris parsa. It has to have both. And it doesn't mean either or. So too is the halacha by fish. They have to have both. Kasra achmanak, snap of kaskasas. That we should know that they're not one, that the snapper is the snapper and the kaskasas is the kaskasas. However, ask the Gemara, v'hash, do the kos rachmana snapper v'kaskasas. So fine, the Torah wrote both. But we said that we don't naturally know what kaskasas means. Ask the Gemara, memai the kaskasas levushu. Who said that we're going to say the kaskasas means the scales and the snapper means the fins? Maybe it's the other way around. Answers the Gemara. The Pasuk says in Shmuel, regarding what Goyus was wearing, he was wearing a coat made out of scales. So ask the Gemara, v'lichta rachmona kaskasav loy lichta snapir. So now that we know from the Pasuk that the definition of kaskasas means scales, so there's no room for mistake. So we're back to where we started. Just write kaskasas. We'll know that kaskeses means scales. And of course, Mefarshim asks, that's good once we have the Pasuk in Shmuel. What about until we had the Pasuk in Shmuel? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer I saw in the Rishonim is that they really had a Mesoira, that the kaskeses means scales. Another teretz that the Tosfos HaRosh says is that in the earlier generations, they were much more familiar with Lashon Kodesh. And they knew that the definition of the word kaskeses means scales. It was later that the concern came up, but later we have the Pasuk in Shmuel. So we know for sure that the word kaskeses means scales. And if we said a moment ago that any fish that has scales for sure has fins and therefore is kosher, we're back to our question. The Torah should have just said kaskeses. Answers the Gemara. Amar avu v'chaintana de Rebbe Shmuel, yag de toila v'yadir. Many different explanations of Yagdol Torah V'Yadir. The simplest explanation is that indeed the Pasuk could have just written kaskeses, but since, as we've just finished explaining, the word kaskeses is not obvious, what it means, so the Torah wanted to be as clear as possible, and therefore since the Torah wanted to be as clear as possible, it said the word snapir as well, to avoid any mistake. One pshat I saw. The simplest pshat. Another pshat goes back to an issue that we've discussed previously in our shiurim. We speak about the simonim of a kosher animal. The simonim of a kosher fish. And we discussed the question that the Mefarshim asked. How are we to understand the simonim of a kosher animal and a kosher fish? Are we to understand them that these are kosher anyway? They're kosher because they're kosher. Just how am I supposed to know what's kosher or not? So Kadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah gave us ways of knowing. That's one way of understanding. Another way of understanding is what makes them kosher. It's not that the simen is just the simen. It's the simen that makes them kosher. So now we can understand the pasuk. Absolutely. If you want to know what's a kosher fish, just look for scales. But the Torah is telling us so much more. The Torah is telling us, you know what makes the kosher fish kosher? It's not the kaskeses alone that makes it kosher. It's the kaskeses for snapir. And that's why the Torah mentions the snapir, because the snapir is part of what makes the fish kosher. Another pshat, a beautiful pshat. Beautiful pshat. It starts, the Leif Simcha says, look at this Gemara. The Gemara is teaching us that we have one extra word, snapir, in the Torah. And from the word snapir, we learn the concept of Kavarat Torah. Yehagdol Torah v'Adira. But what is the Kavarat Torah here? So the Kavarat Torah here is fantastic. The Kavarat Torah here is, and we who live nowadays can really appreciate this, Tzavart from the Eretz Tzvi, from the Kozla Gavr, Rav. He says a beautiful explanation. He says, every day there are new inventions. Every day new things are discovered that weren't here the day before. And in the history of the world, where so many different things were discovered over the history of the world, one thing hasn't been discovered. A fish that has scales and doesn't have fins. Never happened. That's a proof that Torah min Hashamayim. Because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the world, and show and is able to make, is the only one that can make a definitive statement, you won't find a fish that has scales and doesn't have fins. That's Kavarat Torah. That shows us the truth of the Torah. And the Mefarshim take it a step further. There's a famous Medrash. Everybody knows this Medrash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah by Har Sinai. And the Torah says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kav Yochel, you gave Klai Yisrael this wonderful Torah, but when are they going to learn Torah? Not everybody's able to learn Torah during the week. They're busy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave Klai Yisrael Shabbos. And Shabbos is a day that everybody is available to learn Torah. You can't work on Shabbos. That's why we eat fish on Shabbos. Chassidim are careful to eat fish on Shabbos. Because what shows Kavarat Torah? Fish. And what is the day that we're supposed to spend the most time learning Torah? Shabbos. So Shabbos eat fish. But they take it a step further. Where do we learn the concept of Kavarat Torah? But our halachos of kashrus, of machalos asuris, what fish we may eat, what fish we may not eat. Why? Because only one who's careful about machalas asuras. Only one who's careful to only eat kosher food can really learn Torah. Because we know that machalas asuras are matamtim esalev, that prevent us from really succeeding in our learning. So the Torah tells us, be careful to eat only kosher fish. Be careful about machalas asuras, lahagdil Torah ladira, in order that you should be able to properly learn. Because if you're not careful and you're going to eat non-kosher food, then you won't be able to be magdil Torah ladira. You won't be able to learn Torah. There's another explanation why the Torah says snapir v'kaskesis. Interesting explanation. The Chasam Sofer speaks about it. It's really based on a Ramban. He says that the fish that have scales of fins are healthier fish because they have the fins that help them swim to the top of the water, and they have the scales that protect them. And therefore, the Torah wants us to only eat healthy food. And therefore, the Torah, even though you don't have to mention the snapir, because as soon as the kaskesas, we know it's a kosher fish. But the Torah is teaching us that this food is a kosher food because it's a healthier food. Just one more point. We speak here about the kaskesas, that it has to have scales. There are some rishonim that suggest that one scale is enough, that is not enough. Some say one is enough. Others say you have to have three scales and three different parts of the body of the fish. It does seem that it is the opinion of most Rishonim and Paiskim that the scales to be considered kosher scales have to be scales that could easily be removed. If you can't peel off the scales, they're not considered scales. There's also a question amongst the Paiskim. What happens if they have scales, but they're not visible only under a microscope? Is that considered kosher scales or not? Some Paiskim say that something that's not visible doesn't exist in a halacha, and therefore they have to be visible to the eye without a microscope. Many Paiskim are lenient, and they say that if there are scales, even though you need to take some sort of magnification to see it, that's already considered kaskasis. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Mimashu shenema achoyla shiyeshloi. The Torah says, eat those fish that have snapper kaskasis, shemeini, we could extrapolate, al toichel asheinloi, that you may not eat those that don't have fins and scales. On the other hand, al toichel asheinloi, the Torah says, don't eat those fins and scales, those fish that don't have fins and scales. The extrapolation of that is shemeini achoel sheyeshloi, that you may eat those that have fins and scales. And asked the Gemara, why was it said twice? Says the level of essay. The essay is because we're only learning it from lav abo mechlal essay is considered an essay because the Torah says don't eat what doesn't have, so that's a lav abo mechlal essay. And therefore, it's considered an essay. And the Torah is teaching us here that only that if somebody eats fish that are not kosher, he's over a lav and an essay. Many Rishonim take the opinion that even though this pasuk that teaches us that if you eat non-kosher fish, rachmana lutzlan, you're over a lav and essay is mentioned by fish. It's not only the halacha, that will not only be the halacha by fish. The Meiri says this, the halacha is by all animals and birds, that somebody eats rachman slan that are not kosher, is over a lav and an essay. Before we go further, we begin now speaking about the issur of shrotzim, a very serious issur in the Torah of eating shrotzim, creeping, crawling insects. Now, creeping, crawling insects really could be found in four places, as we'll see in our Gemara. They can be found in Yamim and Cholim, streams, rivers. They can be found in Nitzim v'Charitzim. Nitzim v'Charitzim are ponds that have a bubbling source of water. They can be found in Boiris, Sichin, and Ma'oris, which are like water gathered together without a bubbling source. And they can be found in Kalim. They can be found in vessels and pots and pans and bathtubs. As we're going to see in the Gemaras that we're learning, the only time shrotzim may not be eaten are those that grow either in yamim v'nechalim, that's what the pasuk says, or in nitzim v'charitzim. But those that grow in boiris, in pits that don't move onto the ground, and certainly those that are in kalim, that haven't moved out of the vessels, may be eaten. The only question is how we come to that point. So begins the Gemara. Taichlu ma mikol shebemayim ma tamaloyma shiyochel hoyel v'hitta v'mefurish v'hitta b'stam. The Torah, as we'll learn in tomorrow's shiur, said that sometimes you may eat. You may eat certain shrotzim. Makashim hitta b'mefurish. Where, and the Gemara will identify this more in tomorrow's shiur. Makashim hitta b'mefurish v'hitta el b'kelim. Which shrotzim does the Torah say you may eat are those that are found in vessels? Only shrotzim that may be eaten are the shrotzim that are found in vessels. Minayin continues the brisa. L'rabbis, boiris, sichrim, oiris. How do we know that those that are found in boiris, sichrim, oiris, shoychev, shoychman, vein, and nimna, that one could stick his head into a pot or a bathtub of water and drink, and doesn't have to be worried. But as the Rosh points out, it could only be that he puts his head into the water and drinks directly from it. Because as I just said, if you're going to take it out and there's a sheretz there, you need to be concerned that maybe he crept on the floor. And once it crept on the floor, it's usur. Tamalaymer, toichlu mikol shebemayim. So where we're up to is that it not only those shrotzim that are in kalim amutter, but even shrotzim that are in boiris amutter. Ask the Gemara, heichen hitta b'kalim. The Gemara here is assuming, without any question, that the shrotzim that are found in kalim amutter. The ksiv, where do we come to that? How do we get to that? Says the Gemara, the ksiv, ezet toichl mikol shebemayim biyamim. Explains the Gemara as follows. B'yamim im necholim, that's where the Torah says, d'chi is le'echol, that if it has fins and scales, you may eat them. D'lesle, but if they don't have, lo teichel. But if it's not b'yamim im necholim, ha b'kelim, creatures that are found in the kelim, avgav d'lesle echol. And in fact, the Mefarshim say, many Rishonim, the Chazanish Paschal is this way, that since we're learning this halacha from the psukim about fish, not only shrotzim that are found in kalim are mutter, but even fish without simonim that we just finished learning extensively a sugya, they have to have the simonim. If fish are found in kalim without the simonim, the kosher. Have a kalim, I've got the less leichol. Ask the Gemara, who says to interpret the pasuk that way? Maybe the way to understand the pasuk is as follows. Aima, in the yamim and the cholim, if they have snap of the kaskasas, you're allowed to eat them. If they don't have snap of the kaskasas, you may not eat them. Bekalim, but if they're found bekalim, afagav the lesley, even if they don't have the simonim, lo teichel, you may never eat them. Answers the Gemara, lo sakadatach. That isn't an acceptable conclusion. Diksib, because the Torah says, the kol asha ain lo snap of the kaskasas, B'yamim v'necholim, v'kol sheretz hamayim. So we explain the pasuk. Why does the Torah have to speak about the yamim v'necholim? To teach us, b'yamim v'necholim, the less le'loi teichel. Only in the yamim v'necholim, if they don't have the snap of a kaskas, may you not eat them. Habakelim, afagav, the less le'echol. Ask the Gemara, who says to explain the pasuk that way, going back to what we've been discussing in our shiurim, maybe the way to understand the pasuk is as follows. B'mayim klal. B'yamim in the cholim is a prat. And we know klal uprat, ein b'chlal amash b'frat. When you have a klal and then you have a prat, the prat defines the klal. and we'll understand Yamim v'Necholim in Nitzim v'Charitzim loy, and the Torah is teaching us that in the Yamim v'Necholim you may eat if they have the Simonim, but if they grow in these pans that have a bubbling sauce, you may not. Says the Gemara, B'mayim Choz v'Klal. Says the Gemara, the way to understand is the Pasuk as a Klal, a Prat, and Klal. And therefore, Klal, Prat, and Klal, Yatadon El Ka'ena Prat. And B'yamim and Cholim, and anything similar to it. Ask the Gemara, before we go further, how can we explain this Pasuk as a Klal, a Prat, and Klal? Hani Trei Klali, the Smich and Vahadadi. The two words B'mayim aren't the Prat, the klal and prat, the klal, but they're next to each other. So it's a klal, or klal, or prat. Amar Avina answers the Gemara, Kre'amri b'merova, kamokim sh'at amayt shnei klal and smuchim zu l'zu. If you have a situation of a klal, or prat, sort of speak, manipulate the pasuk, hatl prat b'neim, put the prat between the two klalim, and treat it the klal, or prat, or klal. And now the Gemara comes to its conclusion. B'mayim klal. B'yamim and acholim prat, b'mayim chos v'klal, klal prat to klal, yatadon al prat kena prat. Ba'a prat refurish, mayim noivim. What is the characteristic of yam and acholim? It's live water. Af kol mayim noivim. That wherever the water is live water, the fish that may be eaten have to have snapik kaskasas. My Rabbi, so what have we learned? The charitz v'nitzim, not only yamim v'necholim, but even charitz v'nitzim, which are the ponds that have a bubbling sauce, the sura may not be eaten, the fish may not be eaten unless they have snap of the kaskasas. Or my miyut, and what have we now learned? That boris sichrim oris, just different shapes of pits, lehatera. Ask the Gemara, Vema, who says to learn the pasuk that way? Maybe the way to learn the pasuk is ma prat mafurish, ma magdela magab karka. Whenever you have a pool of water, the halacha is you're only allowed to eat fish that have snap of a kaskasis. And therefore, afkom ma magdela magab karka, everything that is pooled on the water, or my rabbi, and therefore will come with the conclusion that certainly yamiv and cholim, which the Torah says befeirish, has to have snap of kaskasis. And certainly nitzim v'charitzim, which are so similar to yam v'necholim, will have to have snap of kaskasis. But even afilu barisichim v'moiris, the only fish that will be eaten, those that have snap of kaskasis. And therefore the halacha says the Gemara will be that afilu barisichim v'moiris li sura, or my miyit. And therefore the only place where you won't have to have simonim is kalim, those that are found in the Kalim, and says the Gemara, and Kalim Teichlu by Hanalei. The Torah said the word Teichlu. The word Teichlu is coming to teach us that something can be eaten without Simonim. That's teaching us Bairus. So the Klal Prat Klal has to be teaching us something. The Klal Prat Klal is coming to teach us that not only Bairus, those that are found without Snapik, Kaskesis, and Bairus are kosher, but even those that are found in, not only those found in Kalim are kosher, but even those found in Bairus are kosher, and which are not kosher, the ones that are found in Yamim and Necholim, and those that are found in Nitzim Charitzim.